Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship. It's great to have you with us and just looking forward to a time of celebrating what the Lord has done during our time together. Thank you for signing up each week. If you can continue to, I think we're getting close where we can stop the sign up, but let's maybe one more week and we'll see what we can do. It looks like we got that under control pretty well. But one thing we're going to add next week after both services, we're going to have the coffee fellowship time for about 15 or 20 minutes. So if you want out of here, you can go ahead and take off and be out of here, but we'll allow a person or two to be serving coffee at our kiosk for those that want to linger and enjoy some fellowship. So that's going to be starting next Sunday after both services. If you need to use a restroom during your time here, over in the atrium, it'll be the place to go. Also, last week I said we've given out all the Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes. That's true, but there's some more there. If you didn't get one and you want to fill a package to bless a child in the name of Christ for Christmas time, pick up one of those shoeboxes on the way out today. Tonight is our annual congregational business meeting. We begin at 5:15 with a time of prayer, and then 6 o'clock we'll begin the business part of our meeting. You can pick up the reports and the budget, proposed budget on the table right in the atrium as you go out. And we're trying to get feedback on the next two items. The first is a service of remembrance. This is for those who are grieving over the loss of a loved one in recent years. And this is a service just designed to help those individuals and even prepare you as you're going into the Thanksgiving, Christmas season and the struggles that go with that. But we need to know you're interested. So let me know or call the office and say, hey, I'd like to be part of that service of remembrance. The plan is to do it on November 15th at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So let us know of your interest. The other thing is we're not able to have our big Thanksgiving feast this year. But what we thought about is maybe some mini Thanksgiving feasts. And so the way you could sign up for this, you could say, hey, I would be willing to host that in my home. Or I would like to be a participant in someone else's home. Again, you have to let the office know. And we thought of maybe some mini Thanksgiving feasts in homes, 8 to 10 people gathered together. You could enjoy the feast and then have a time of Thanksgiving to God as well. Again, we're relying on you to let us know, hey, I'd like to be part of that. And so let us know. I encourage you, maybe like you've already voted, but you haven't voted. I encourage you to vote on Tuesday and be praying for the results of those elections. There's some voter guides in the countertop in the foyer that give some guidance on some of the moral issues of where the candidates are at. If you want that as a helpful tool, please pick one up. Our call to worship today is found in Jeremiah chapter 17. Blessed is the man or woman who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he or she will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream. And it will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green. And will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we can worship you today. Even if we're down, like Anne, who just told me she lost her father, I pray that you would comfort her, draw her to yourself, to your word for comfort. So for those who are down, Lord, may they be encouraged and comforted today. For those who are up, may they rub off on other people with that upness. But thank you, Lord. No matter how we feel, we can still worship you. And we pray this will be a time of exalting you, of hearing from you, remembering what the Lord has done for us in communion. All of this, we're grateful for this opportunity. And in the name of Jesus, the risen one. Amen.
My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Let's stand and sing our first hymn, His Strength is Perfect, number 573.
Oh,
this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Hebrews 6:19. In times like these is our next song, 577. Ask your neighbor if they saw the blue moon.
Okay. Our spotlight today is on Trinity International University there in the northern suburbs of Chicago. Quite a ministry there, all kinds of things happening with equipping people for a ministry and law and a whole bunch of things they're equipping people for. Well, some of their concerns, they've had 18 COVID cases on campus in October alone. So we want to pray for healing. Of course, they have Very rigid system they work through to try to isolate and quarantine that for their 1,365 students and alumni and faculty. Trinity has about students serving in about 100 countries around the world, so that's pretty neat the way they've equipped people for ministry. Their president, relatively new, is Nicholas Perrin. I met him recently at a conference. Really good man, real heart for the church. So we're going to pray for Nicholas and just wisdom and what he's doing. Obviously, they're trying to expand in online degrees to be able to help education go out in that way. And one strategic decision they're trying to make is they need an academic dean. And an academic dean is very, very influential in terms of where an organization heads. So we want to pray for the right godly, wise person for that ministry. How about this for the elections? What if we pray Proverbs 28:12, when the righteous triumph, there's great glory, but when the wicked men arise, men hide themselves. Or Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous increase, the people rejoice, but when a wicked man rules, people groan. So the scripture would want us to pray for righteousness to be reflected in these elections and just ask God to work and move in that way. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for Trinity, and I pray that your hand will be upon Nicholas as he leads this institution. Give him wisdom, give him good supporters. I pray for guidance to a very gifted, appropriate, mature person in this academic dean, knowing that is so important to any institution. We pray also for healing for those who have COVID and it wouldn't spread to others. And we pray that you would also prosper their education by extension, that many around the world could be equipped and trained through that, all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do pray, Father, that righteousness would be exalted in the initiatives we're voting on, by the way we vote, and in the individuals who would be selected for this state, for this country. We pray for those who live as though there is a God rather than that there is no God. We pray for those that would live knowing they are accountable to you. And in that accountability, you would give them what they need to lead and govern properly. Father, we ask that people that would recognize you would be elected. And we pray that we as your people would reflect you in the way we conduct ourselves. Father, I pray that this week coming, we will have this sense of security, drawing from a relationship with you as our good shepherd, and if we know you, we are one of your sheep. Now I pray for a fresh filling for myself, for Barb, for Andy, the Spirit of God would fill and empower and speak to us. In Christ's name, amen. What is your strategy when you are under attack? What's your plan when you are being attacked by someone else or some group? What's your strategy or plan? The verse we're going to look at today gives us a strategy or plan on where to run when we are under attack. The series we're going through is Run the Race. And each verse, each passage has run in it somehow. And here's a strategy when you're under attack, where to run. It's Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. And as we look at the strategy here, we first of all see in the strategy that there is protection. When running in the way Solomon tells us here, there is a lasting protection that can be ours. It says here, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Now, in those days, a town would have a strong tower, which was the highest building in the entire town. And if you were being attacked from the outside, and this was a pretty overwhelming attack coming your way, you would run to that tower for safety and protection. And so that's where you would go. Of course, you had the option of not going there. And so it is today, God gives the option of where to run, and people can choose otherwise. For instance, the next verse in Proverbs 18 indicates that many people run to their wealth, thinking that their wealth, their income, what they possess, that's going to get them through. In fact, notice the cockiness here. It's talking about a strong tower in our verse. There are some people, in verse 11, they look at their wealth as a strong, not just tower, but city. And it says there, a rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his own imagination. So there are many people that say, it's my wealth, it's what I've got going for me. That's not only a tower, it's my city. And I've got these invincible walls because I have these things. Pretty flimsy thing. It's only in your own imagination that you have that kind of protection. For other people, their protection is their own self-sufficiency. That's brought out in verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. So there's this lifting up, this pride within you. I can handle it. I can do it by myself. And so there's this self-sufficiency for many. I don't need to run to that particular tower. And there are many who would put their confidence in people or individuals. Think about this in terms of an election. Jeremiah 17 says, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength and whose heart turns away from the Lord. No matter who wins these elections, don't put your confidence in that individual. Your confidence needs to be in the Lord. Of course, we want the kind of people elected and put in office whose confidence is turning to the Lord rather than away from the Lord, trusting in self and trusting in mankind. But we dare not put our confidence in an individual or a group or a party or whatever it might be. No, the best place that we can run for protection is the name of the Lord. And when it says the name of the Lord, what it means is God himself. Because when you're talking about the name here, it's what God has revealed himself to be. So think about this. The right place to run is the right person. It's not some place we run. It's the person that we run to. It's the name of the Lord that we run to, and that's where we experience protection. So as we get to know more and more of what he's like, that's where our protection is at. And grasping his attributes and what he's like, his character, as you go more and more grasping those things, that's where you'll find your protection. I was overwhelmed this week as I thought, okay, let me look at what God is like. And I reviewed some of the theology of the character and qualities of God. Let me just give you a sense of what this is like. We begin with a challenge like this with his power. He's all powerful. He's unlimited in power. Then you could think about his faithfulness. Other people are going to let you down. Not God. He's always faithful. You can think about his eternalness. Without beginning, without end, not bound in time. Then you could add on top of that, I'm trying to not use complicated words here, but his sameness. He doesn't change. He doesn't need to change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You could think about his completedness. We're incomplete, but he's totally completed and has always been that way. We strive for self-sufficiency and we'll never get there on our own apart from him, but he is totally self-sufficient. He is the great I am. How about this one? He who is the blessed, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15, he is in the perfect blessed state. He is the one who is perfectly blessed. He is the one that's perfectly happy. I'm cautious with using the word happy with people, but God is perfectly happy. He is perfectly blessed. And that's where we can find our protection. Then we could add on top of that he is present everywhere. Let that one sink in for a while. He has a full and complete knowledge and wisdom, lacking nothing whatsoever. And then you can add the attributes which we're familiar with, his love, his mercy, his grace, his goodness, his kindness, his patience. His holiness, His righteousness, His justice. What a tower. The tower is a person. And every quality you look at is just crying out, here's your protection. Come and learn more and more what He's like and find your protection in Him. Now, sometimes I think it's helpful when we wrestle these kind of concepts to think of people who aren't like us and relate to how this verse would help a person. Think of a young single mom who's struggling, very vulnerable, not sure about protection, and God is offering this. Think of widows out there who evil people are scheming and taking advantage of those widows needing this kind of protection. Think of the whole foster care system and children who need protection. Where will they find it? In the name of the Lord. Think of yourself. You weren't expecting that attack this week, were you? And yet it came. And you're feeling very vulnerable. How are you going to react? Where's your protection at? In the name of the Lord. Think of that temptation. The truth is you keep giving into that temptation. And that temptation seems like a mighty army that keeps overwhelming you. Where's your protection? In the name of the Lord. So what we need to do is go back to what we know of God. What you already know of God, go back to it. You say, I don't know much. Well, tell Him that. Say, I don't know much, but I want to learn something about You, God, because that's where my protection is at. And for those of you that know a lot about God, learn more. Go deeper in each of those areas that you already know a lot about, because that's where your protection will be at. Get your Bible open and go back and go deeper in terms of what God is like, and more than you can imagine, that's where our protection is at. This strategy not only gives protection, it also gives confidence. Notice the next part of the verse, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it. Who are the righteous? Well, righteousness can only be obtained through faith in the Lord. It's not through us having our own righteousness. Isaiah chapter 45 describes it this way. There is no other God besides me, God says. A righteous God and a Savior. There's a lot of unrighteous gods out there. He is the righteous God and Savior. There is none except me. And then He gives the invitation, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. And then He says, every knee and will bow one day, and they're going to confess. What will they confess? Only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. So you become righteous by realizing you're not righteous. And God is righteous, and through faith in His Son, you can be declared righteous as well. And then when you take that step of faith and trust, then you begin to commit to an upright life. You begin to understand the importance of reflecting God's character and God's moral standards, and that's what we want in an election, of course, but that's what we want personally in our life, in our church life. This righteous person, what does he or she do? Runs to the Lord. You sense the enthusiasm? Not walks feebly, not, oh, it's the only option, I guess I'll go there. You run with eagerness. Why did you run to the tower when you felt vulnerable? Because you knew what it offered. You knew the security and the confidence that it will give. So you run to the Lord with that kind of confidence, knowing that's where I will find my confidence and build my confidence by running to the Lord. Now, the truth is, many people are running to different things. They're running to substances. It might be alcohol. It might be drugs. It might be prescription drugs. It might be sexual addiction. It might be kind of the relationships that just leave you dry and empty, but at least it's something you can run to. And so you run to these things. Other people are exhausted because their strategy is, okay, I don't have a tower to run to, but I'll just keep running. And I'll keep on running, and maybe I'll be safe in that way. And you look at a person who's exhausted as a parent. I can't go on. I don't have the strength to do this anymore because you're not going to the tower. You're just running in your own human effort. No wonder you're so exhausted. Maybe you're thinking in terms of a relationship. You're trying to invest, but you can't make it happen. You're not running to the tower. You're running to run, thinking somehow you're going to make it by just running with more and more effort. But yet you know you're running out of energy. You're running out of steam. What happens to such a person? Eventually you give up. You just stop running entirely. And those kind of people become grumpy people. They become bitter people. They rub off on other people because they've given up on running and they're not going to run at all anymore. And so they become grumpy people in their relationships. And here's this offer of confidence where the Lord says, run to me. And God is the only one that welcomes us to escape in him. And when I use the word escape, I don't mean escape from your problems. What God is saying, come to me to escape for a little while so I can refresh you and restore your confidence in me again. So God is saying, escape to me so you can be refreshed and go back to it freshly again. So we can do this. You can run to the Lord to begin your day. I love to do that in the morning. My quiet time with the morning starts in the early morning, just running to the Lord and saying, restore this kind of confidence, Lord. When you feel the pressure coming, run to the Lord for a few moments to have him restore your confidence. And when he got you through the day, run to the Lord again and thank him and ask him to help prepare you for the next day well. And may I encourage those of you who are parents or grandparents or in some kind of mentoring relationship, train and help your children or the people you're mentoring the habit of running to the Lord. Rather than trying to do it by running and running and keep on running, and eventually you're just going to be exhausted and worn out and bitter, learn that the source of your protection and your confidence is in the Lord, and that's where you need to be running. The final part of this strategy gives us security. Such an elusive thing in life. So many insecure people. And notice the emphasis on security with this strategy. The name of the Lord is a strong tower that the righteous runs into it and is safe. The word safe implies inaccessibly high. You've been elevated to a high position where you can't be touched. Now, don't get me wrong. You're still under attack. Nothing has changed your circumstances. Those people still have it in for you. And you're still under attack. It's just that God has raised you to a place that's inaccessible from their harm. He has set you so high that even though the attack is taking place, you've got this sense of security. So your sense of security overcomes your sense of vulnerability. I love the way John chapter 10 says this. Jesus is speaking. He says, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they'll never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. If you're one of Jesus' sheep, by faith in him, you're in his hand. You're in the Father's hand. And what gets to you has to go through their hand first. That is security. That's the source of security. And again, think about the insecurity that's going on in our world today. There's people who are increasingly aware of how they don't control things, and they're very insecure about that. That's why they try to control other people, because they're struggling with their own insecurity, so they try to find security in controlling other people. There are people who've been hit hard by life, and life has been so hard, and they don't know where to turn. They've got no sense of security. And so life is one desperate measure after another, or just pretending, playing along, putting on the face, and acting though everything is okay when you know it's not, and there's not security. That maybe you weren't expecting that attack from your friend, from that loved one, from that coworker. And you feel very vulnerable because of that attack, and you feel very open and exposed as well. It's easy to want to give up in these times, But we need to find our security, the place where only security can found, in a relationship with the Heavenly Father. My mother-in-law is dying of a brain tumor right now. My wife is with her, her mom, and the other night she was, doing all this stuff to care for her. And her mother said, "I just need a hug. You've done all this stuff to care for me and going through it. It's very important, but I just need a hug." And Rachel sent me a picture of her hugging her mom. So sweet, so beautiful. And there's so many people, "I just need a hug from God." And God wants to give it, but you're not letting him do it. You're going somewhere else to get a hug. And God so wants to hug you and give you that sense of security. But you got to give up where you're trying to find security elsewhere and find it in a relationship with God as your Heavenly Father, who wants to do more than hug you. No matter what you're going through, he wants you to sense that security.
Yay, you are awake. run up. Do you remember that song we sing in church where we put our hand out? I kept thinking of it all through your sermon. We put at the end of our song, we put our hand out. Put your hand out like this. And you put yourself in God's hands. And God, the Father, puts his hand around it. And Jesus puts his hand around it. And nothing can ever, you say ever, ever, say it like you mean it, ever let you go. Yep, he'll never let you go. I just kept thinking that song all through the sermon. Have a seat, babe. Okay, this has never happened to Alana, by the way. Just want to clear that up. If a kid is having a rough time in a class, the teacher will bring him out to me, and we'll sit down and we'll talk about it. And then I'll say, "Guess what? At our church, and because you're part of God's family, we give second chances. Because God gives second chances." And then I'll say, "Let's pray and ask God to help to go try again." So today, we're going to learn about three things. You ready? Three things. Put your threes up. We're going to learn about God giving second chances. We're going to learn about how he wants to pray, and our prayers are powerful through him. And we're going to learn that we have a mighty and awesome God. Are you ready? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your Bible. Thank you that the stories you put there are all true, and you want us to learn from them. So Holy Spirit, please help us learn how much you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hezekiah was a very good king. The kings before him, not so good. But Hezekiah was a really good king. He knocked down all the idols that the other kings had put up to the fake gods. And he also got the people to worship the one true living God. They re-cleaned out the temple. It took 16 days. They cleaned out the temple. He even put gold on the doors of the temple. And everybody was worshiping, ready? The one true living God. I got about one-fourth of you. Try it again. One true living God, which is our God, too. And Hezekiah worshiped the one true living God, and he trusted him. And there was a mean, evil, horrible, wicked, I could go on, king from Assyria. And he was going around the country of Israel attacking and capturing cities. And people would hear, the messenger would come running up and go, "The king of Assyria just captured another city. Oh no, we're going to die." And he kept getting closer and closer and closer to Jerusalem, where King Hezekiah was king. Now, King Hezekiah decided to do things his own way, didn't pray. Oh my gosh, he didn't pray. And he went and sent a messenger to the evil king and said, "Hey, I'll give you whatever you want to get out of town. Will you just leave? I'll give you whatever you want." And the king of Assyria says, "I would like a lot of gold. And a lot of gold and a lot of silver." And so Hezekiah went and took all the money from the temple, took some money of his own, took some money from other places. He even took all the gold off the temple doorsteps. And he gave it to this evil king. And he says, okay, here's your money you wanted. Go home. The guy says, I lied. I'm not going home. And he kept coming closer and closer to Jerusalem. And he sent his officials with his 185,000 people. His army surrounded Jerusalem. And they went. The officials came up and they yelled up to the walls of Jerusalem, don't obey King Hezekiah. He doesn't know what he's talking about. King Assyria is a strong, mighty king. Don't follow your God. Your God can't save me. You see all these other cities that we've already attacked? Your God can't save you. Your God can't save you. And the officials of Jerusalem went back to the king and told him what King Assyria had said. And all the people said, too, King, it's time to pray. He got a second chance. And he went into the temple, and then right then, the evil king sent him a letter that says, I just want to make it really clear, you're going down. Your God is going down. Your God is not worth it. You don't trust your God. And the king, Hezekiah, knelt down in the temple and spread the letter out in front of the one true living God and said, dear God, we're so sorry for what we've done. We want, please save us. Please show the world that you are the one true living God. His friend, the prophet Isaiah, came to him and said, don't worry. God said that he will not let one arrow go into Jerusalem. Not one of your people will die. God's got this. The battle is the Lord's. Ready? The battle is the Lord's. Oh, say it like you mean it because it's true. The battle is the Lord's. And that night, it was dark and all the soldiers were asleep. And the angel of the Lord, you're not going to believe this. The angel of the Lord came and killed 185,000 soldiers. And the wicked king of Assyria got up. He yawned. Show me yawning. We can do it. We had an extra hour of sleep. Yawn. Oh. And he opened his tent flap and he came out and he went, what happened? And he got on his horse and he went home. Whoa. Did we learn about second chances? If you've messed up, go to God. Did you learn about prayer? God didn't act until he prayed. And then we learned that he was mighty and powerful. I think we better clap for God, yeah? Wow, wow. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, please help us pray first, but we thank you for second chances. Help us with every single one of our problems come to you. And when we're afraid, help us come to you. And Lord, we thank you that you are mighty and powerful, and we thank you that you are one true living God. In Jesus' name, amen.
So, how do we run to God as our safe place? What does that practically look like in our everyday lives? And this morning, I want to explore just one possibility for us to take a look at this morning. And this way actually comes out of a 13-year practice that's been going on in my life. It's a habit that I've developed. But 13 years ago, I had a conversation that God would use to change my life. And the interesting thing about this conversation is it didn't announce itself. It actually looked incredibly ordinary. It took place when I was 15 years old. And I remember my mom, she called together all of my brothers and sister and I, and we were all together in the same space, and she wanted to have this conversation with us. She wanted to teach us how to grow in our relationship with God, by having a daily quiet time. And if you don't know what I mean by a daily quiet time, it simply is dedicated alone time for you to spend with God each day. All relationships take time to grow, and that includes our relationship with God. But having a relationship with God who you could not see always felt kind of mystical and mysterious to me. I mean, how do you have a relationship with someone, like I said, who you can't see and who rarely speaks in an audible voice? I've been a Christian for 24 years, and to this day, I have never audibly heard the voice of God like you're hearing my voice right now. It's never happened. Well, my mom told us that we could grow in our relationship with God by talking with him through prayer and also listening to him through the Bible. When we open up the Bible, we are opening up the very word of God. God is speaking to us whenever we read from the Bible. And this felt a little intimidating, but my mom didn't stop there. She took out her journal, and on her journal, she showed us this little acronym to show us how to get the conversation started with prayer. And I think it's a wonderful little foundation. So what she did, she started off, and she wrote this letter on the top of her journal. And it was the letter A. You'll have to excuse the handwriting. I always got in trouble for that growing up in school. But she wrote the letter A, and this letter A stood for adoration. When you hear that word adoration, I want you to think adore, to lift up God's name, to praise him for who he is. And she said the way that she would do this is she'd go on the computer and she'd listen to a song that we would sing in church to worship him, and she'd write the name of that song right next to the letter A, and that's how she would spend time praising God and lifting up his name. And after that, she then wrote the letter C on her journal. And the letter C stood for the word confess, that we're supposed to confess our sins to God, that we need to go before God and we need to ask God to forgive us of the sins that we've done in our lives, and to ask him to help us to live life differently. And next to this letter C, she would write down specific sins that she had committed against God to ask for forgiveness for, and she instructed us to do the same. After that, she then wrote down the letter T, which stands for thank, to spend time thanking God for the good things, the good gifts that we've been given in our lives, because as James 1 talks about, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every good thing we've experienced in our lives comes directly from the hand of God. We need to thank him for that. And the last thing she told us was the letter S. If you notice, it spells the word X. The letter S stands for supplication, which simply means to present our requests before God, to ask him to help us, and also ask him to help other people in our lives. And after she was done, she would list specific things down next to that one as well. And after she was done, she would then spend time in the Bible. And what she would do is there is this devotion by Walk Through the Bible. It's a phenomenal ministry called Indeed. And what she would do is she'd have a daily reading, and it'd tell her to read a passage. And then there would be some words that the writer would reflect on to help break down the passage and what it meant. And after she was done reading, she would then pray and ask God to help her live out what she had just read. And I remember thinking about this going, man, this sounds like a lot of work. I don't really know if I want to do all this work. But she told us that there actually wasn't as much involved as we thought. She said, just start off small. Start off with 10 to 15 minutes, maybe 10. Praying in reading your Bible. That's all. I didn't realize it, but my mom was teaching me how to develop the daily habit of running towards God as my strong tower, finding my security inside of him. For 13 years now, I've been waking up early, running to God as my safe place. When I was a junior in high school, I remember I had swimming practice at 6 o'clock in the morning every morning. And I would wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning so that I could have a quiet time before I went to swimming practice at 6 o'clock. And it happened because my mom taught me the importance of running towards God in prayer, and God convicting me and showing me that I need to spend time with him just like I do with my friends. So for me, I still spend time with God each day in the morning. And what it looks like for me is, and I encourage you to find a time and find a place that will work well for you to do this. For me, it's a lazy boy. We have a lazy boy at my house. I sit there every single morning. It's in a quiet place with a room, and I shut the door, so it's just me and God. And I always do it after I eat breakfast because I'm able to focus better after I eat. I cannot focus well if I don't eat first. So I always start off doing that. And for you, I'd recommend, like I said, finding a time that would work well for you. For me, the reason I pick the morning is because it's the only time I can guarantee that I'm going to have uninterrupted that day. Because sometimes the day gets going and the day gets crazy. And it doesn't feel like you have a moment to think. So I always start off at the very beginning for myself. For you, you might not be a morning person. That might not work well for you. Although I'd encourage it. You need to find out a time that works well for you and for your personality. God wants us to meet with him and uses our personality as part of that. And what's so cool is that this kind of intimate relationship with God is made possible for all of us. It's made possible for all of us through Jesus. Jesus came into the world to die for our sins on the cross and to rise from the dead 3 days later so that we could be forgiven of our sins and enter into a relationship with God by trusting in what Jesus has done for us. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, man, I would love to talk with you more about that after service. And this morning, we're going to celebrate the fact that we've been given this relationship with God through Jesus. And this is found through the Lord's Supper. It's a meal. And this meal consists of two symbols of bread and of wine. If you picked it up as you walked in, go ahead and grab that at this time. And this meal is for those who are his followers. So if you're here this morning and you haven't come to know Jesus as your Savior yet, we are so glad and so thankful to have you here with us. And we'd like to ask you to hold off on participating with us at this time. And instead, during this time, we wanted to ask you to reflect on this question. The question is, who really is Jesus? Who really is he? Can I really trust him as my Savior? Is he my Savior? Spend time thinking about that. But before we continue with the Lord's Supper, let's take a moment to prepare ourselves by confessing any unconfessed sin, this letter C. And after you're done, after a few moments, I'll bring us back together in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our strong tower and safe place. We thank you that this security is found in you and that we're able to have it because of what Jesus has done for us through his life, death, and resurrection. We thank you for this moment to remember what you've done for us through your Son. In your name we pray. Amen. On the night Jesus was betrayed in Mark 14:22-24, this is what it reads. While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body. Let's eat in remembrance of our Lord." Verse 23 goes on to say, "Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Let's drink and remember our Lord." Jesus, we thank you for giving us the Lord's Supper as a time to remind us of the hope that's found in you. Please help us to live lives that reflect who you are to the world, so that they might come to know the life that is found in you. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand. Isaiah 41:13. Let's stand to sing, "Precious Lord, take my hand.
Great to have you all here with us. And man, what a perfect sermon to have on the week of election week in our country. We could be such a reflection of the peace and the hope and the security that's found inside of the name of our Lord by running to him as our strong tower. And I just want to encourage you, if a daily quiet time hasn't become a practice in your life, I'm telling you, it really is life transformational. And if you want to take time to explore in greater detail why it's so important and how to do it, I would love to be able to have a conversation with you about it. But let's pray as we wrap up. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you right now that we're able to run to you in prayer. And God, we pray that you would help us as we go throughout our week to find our hope and to find our security inside of you, that when fear and anxiety comes our way, that we would run to you rather than running to other places. It's in your name we pray.